When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Homicides in Seattle and the United States as well are starting to decline as of March 31st, but I don't believe it. It's fake data. It's fake news is what I'm going to say. The GOP candidates are battling for an endorsement in the Washington governor's race. It's going to be a choice between you're either going to go full MAGA or you're going to go MAGA light, right? You're going to
go. I think you could probably safely call Dave Reichert MAGA light.
Yeah. Might even call him a MAG light.
Birds, MAGA MAGA.
He is very, very MAGA indeed. Before we get to all that, though, all that local stuff, looks like the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas is not going very well because one of the two charters is
articles. Charters or articles? I don't even know.
I think they're interchangeable. Yeah. It's been dismissed.
Right. Straight off the bat.
And so that's what you get, I guess, when you play stupid games in politics and you are attempting to remove somebody from a position when you don't actually control, you know, what's that thing called again? The Senate?
That's right.
So thanks for wasting everybody's time, I guess, in this valiant effort to... Okay, this is the thing that people don't understand about Alejandro Mayorkas and his role as it pertains to the border.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, ballpark it, about... 270 some odd years of precedent when it comes to laws and the governing of the border.
Correct.
Because of that, it's basically a bureaucratic matrix of cans and cannot do's given whatever station or position you are in within that bureaucracy. We don't have a system of bureaucracy at the federal level where one person says, do this, I decree, because that would give them more power than the president of the United States.
Mm.
And that is an issue, which is why that matrix is in place, right? You have federal law, you have state law, you have local law, you have bureaucrats at every single level there, and then you have courts and appellate courts, and then you have local judges. I mean, it is a nightmare. So when people do this argument where they say Alejandro Mayorkas should have been able to do X, Y, and Z, he's a traitor to this country, so
dereliction
of
duty, they're saying,
that is just ignorance of the law because he said so when he was testifying. I cannot do things without being sued or being overturned by judges at the federal level. And for some reason, everybody just overlooked that and decided to say that he was in dereliction of duty, which is, again, just kind of ignorance of the law. It should frustrate people that the laws are such a quagmire, a Gordian knot of legalese that is only impenetrable by Judge Judy. And she's not working anymore.
She made enough money, went home. But you know what, though? I like the quagmire. I like the tangled web of knots that the system can be found in or finds itself in, because it keeps people from, you know, when President Trump tried to do so many executive orders to try to make our border secure in his point of view, and his point of view, there were legal challenges at every front. And same thing happened with President Biden when he tried to think there are legal challenges at every front, because there's supposed to be checks and balances in this system. That's why it's the most successful system for all its flaws on the face of the earth in all of history. I would argue the democracy we put together 270 years ago is still, to this day, one of the strongest on the face of the earth.
Can we do a quick text message poll here, Laura? I think this is going to be fun. If you have the answer to this, 888-973-5476. How many MAGA people out there, or how many members of the GOP, remember in 2019 what Trump asked Congress to give him? Anybody remember? Nick, do we got the Jeopardy music? Because this is going to be good. 2019, Donald Trump had a televised, remember this? He addressed the nation.
I think I remember, but I don't want to give the answer.
Nick,
I'm
thinking to myself that most people would know that in 2019, Donald Trump gave a televised address in which he asked for, Laura, do we have any answers here from the fine studio audience? Anybody out there? No? No takers on this?
Ooh.
Nobody knows? This is very interesting.
What is Grand Canyon? No, I'm sorry.
It's not even the way that is supposed to be phrased.
What is the Grand Canyon?
I'm going to assume that nobody's got it because this is a
I'm waiting.
I'm going to assume that nobody knows.
I'm going to write my answer down.
As soon as the music goes away, I'm just going to let people know.
Ooh, 425, immunity?
No, incorrect.
Oh, that was this year. I'm sorry, that was this year's request.
He asked Congress to give him the power to shut down the border, which is the same request that Joe Biden made when he submitted that bill, or the Lankford bill.
Yes.
When he said, I will sign that because it gives me the power to shut down the border.
Right.
Donald Trump was asking for that back in 2019. Why is it that so many members of the GOP don't realize that the president just can't snap his fingers and say, we're done, son? It is a real disservice, I think, to us as citizens that we don't recognize that civics is such an important aspect of this process. And to impeach somebody based on dubious and spurious charges is just kind of embarrassing and immature.
And if the president can't do it, you think the director of Homeland Security has that power?
Right, yeah, please.
This is theatrical. This is lowering the bar of what impeachment is. Everybody gets impeached, so it's no big deal when anybody gets impeached.
Seattle homicides are in decline, mirroring a national trend. They're down 36%, which seems like a lot. But, I mean, the number is already fairly small, right? I mean, it was 77 the last time I checked, which is in... You know, again, in a state that is as large as this state and as large as King County is, and as many people who live in King County, that's kind of a miracle of modernity that it's so low. Boston is down 82%, Philadelphia 37%, all the way down the line. Los Angeles, slight increase at plus 9, Atlanta, slight increase at plus 15. So when you look at the data like this, I think that most people resent it deeply. They hate it.
Because how so?
Because they want to stick to the country's falling apart.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Okay, they want to stick to the...
Yep. It destroys their narrative. Yes.
Right. It's the same thing that people tell me when I say, you know, Joe Biden did X, Y, and Z wrong, but he's done A, B, and C correct. And then they go, are you better off 4 years ago? Well, you're better now, which is I am the wrong person to ask that question to, because I am much better off now than I was when Trump was in office.
You know, I got a friend who was making $500 a day to put bodies in freezer trucks in New York. He loved that money.
Right, exactly.
Maybe he was better off then.
Maybe he was better off then, my friend.
$500 a day cash money.
That argument, are you better off now than where you were 4 years ago, is such a stupid argument to ask, because what was I doing 4 years ago? Oh, yeah, I was broke. Wow. Great. And now I'm not. I mean, it's like, did Joe Biden impact my overall quality of living? No. Did Donald Trump affect my overall quality of living? No. So I say that to say this.
Okay, go ahead.
When we think about the national trends of violence or whatever, when people attribute that to a presidential candidate or whatever it might be, I didn't like it when people did it to Donald Trump. I certainly don't like it when people do it to Joe Biden, but that's just because I'm consistent.
Well, that's a great point. You can't have it both ways. You can't say all the problems are this guy's fault. Then you can't say, you know, homicides are down coast to coast.
Correct.
You know, should Biden take credit for that? We can't give him blame for stuff that's out of his control.
He is technically going out every night in that bat suit. So technically, we could thank him for that. I believe.
Yeah.
He is dressing
up. I give Alfred a lot more credit than most people want to give Alfred to, because he keeps that whole house running.
I'm just saying, man. I mean, if you put yourself in a rubber suit and go around and punch dudes in the face, homicides.
Never with a gun, though.
Never with a gun. He's a man of conviction, traumatized by seeing his parents killed in front of him, in front of the Regal Theater.
That's why I don't go to the live theater.
GOP candidates are battling for an endorsement in the Washington governor's race. Spike, what does this thing happen in Spokane?
Spokane is having its Republican caucus this weekend, where various districts and sectors of the Republican Party will get together and have what's been described as a very raucous weekend as expected, because people are passionate about the direction of the Republican Party in the state of Washington.
Lots of Bud Lights and
I don't think the catering's going to be. I bet they're having Rainier beers.
And lots of
fine Rainier.
No Bud Lights?
I wonder why they wouldn't have
Bud Lights there. It's not like people get triggered over having a drink in front of them, right? That would be obscene and childish if people were going to get triggered over, you know, a can.
Yeah.
That would be pretty crazy.
By all accounts, Dave Reichert will come out as the Republican nominee for governor in the state of Washington, but Semi Bird is got a lot of support among the more MAGA contingents of Washington Republican caucuses, and there are quite a few over there, so they're expecting to scuff a few knees in the debate this weekend over in Spokane.
Being a MAGA candidate is super easy. You ever think about this? How easy it is to be a MAGA candidate?
Well, the talking points are issued on a national basis.
All I have to do is say, greatest economy of all time, drain the swamp, we're going to lock up all these deep state bureaucrats. I could do it in my sleep, right? You're not really talking about policy. You're just kind of coasting off of those sweet orange fumes, you know, the just like tiptoeing on a trail of cheeseburger wrappers and Skittles bags, just tiptoeing all the way your way.
Yeah, standing on a bucket of chicken.
And a sweet government job. So my thought about this is Semi Bird is not a well person. This is someone, just in my general assessment and in my opinion, I'm not saying this is a statement of fact for legal reasons, I view this person as not being totally fit to run very many things. I think that Dave Reichert is the obvious choice. However, his views on gay marriage and trans people might throw a bit of a monkey wrench into that problem. In the same way that if I went to the fine state of Tennessee and I ran out on a platform of, I'm going to take away your guns, I could pretty much guarantee a loss by coming to the state of Washington and saying, I think that marriage is between a man and a woman, and it should be that way, is probably the easiest way to lose that election. It's very poor politicking, and he should probably readdress that at some point.
Well, in the general, yes. But over in Spokane this weekend, that kind of position will get Dave Reichert a few more votes. We'll get him more than he will lose him.
Can we get Dave Reichert on the show at some point in time so I could ask him about his research into trans people?
I can certainly try.
Because it would be interesting for me, because I'm very well read on the issue. It'd be very interesting for me to speak to somebody who speaks so confidently about things that they know nothing about. That's my favorite, absolute favorite position to be in. You know what I mean?
Like to position of power and authority.
Position of power and authority. Yeah. And I love to talk to people when they are completely ignorant on the issues.
Maybe we could frame it in a way that would be more attractive for
Yeah, let me think Reichert. About how to word that email. Yeah.
Tell him how about if we help you come up to speed on some of the science of the issues facing us as citizens.
So what's your read of this, Spike? What are you thinking? Where are the Republicans going right in the state of Washington? Where are they going wrong? What's your analysis, Mike?
Well, it's funny because this is so emblematic of it's much easier to win a primary than it is, or a nomination than it is a general. Mm-hmm. Dave Reichert can't win the state of Washington's Republican nomination without having the views he expressed in that fundraiser that we played the tape of earlier.
Yeah.
You got to run hard to the extreme to win a primary or get the nomination of your party in today's Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And then pivoting to the general where you got to be more centrist, more even-handed, especially in a blue state like Washington. I think Reichert did what he had to do in that meeting in February. He'll do what he has to do in the meeting in Spokane this weekend. He'll take down, because while Byrd has strong support of the MAGA coalition of Washington Republicans, I don't think the MAGA coalition of Washington Republicans is big enough to win a primary, let alone a general election.
Well, and not only that, but if you attach yourself to the MAGA movement in the state of Washington, you are going to lose. You know, flat, there are too many independents. Just look at the polling data. And look at the information that was released on the last election cycle.
Yes.
Too many independents, too many Democrats, too many moderates. And then you're going to come out and you're going to say, yeah, MAGA to what? Right? Like it's just not going to. That's basically like if you're going through Disneyland and you're telling the kids, we're not going on any of the rides.
None of the rides. None. They're bad for you. They're based in unrealistic fantasy.
You know what I mean? Like,
all those seven dwarfs live together in one house. No. No, I say.
It's like, do you want to disappoint people more? In a specific space than to say, hey, vote for me. I really like Donald Trump. It doesn't fly in certain states. It will never fly in certain states. And to say otherwise is to be politically ignorant, right?
Yeah, hear, hear.
All right. Seattle studied dozens of sites for housing growth. These 24 got picked. It's not my neighborhood, Spike. What neighborhoods are they?
It's funny. Laura and I were talking about this. It's the micro city. Is that what they call them?
The 15-minute city?
15-minute
neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And what they're talking about, increasing housing capacity, making them high-density zones in communities around town that already have the existing elements of a 15-minute city, which is shopping, which is some entertainment, some parks, right? The idea of the 15-minute city is to not make everybody come into Seattle to enjoy the amenities of a downtown city, but just have them in your neighborhood and take cars off the roads.
And to have the people who work at those restaurants or grocery
or
stores
shops,
be able to live,
maybe close
walking
enough to
distance
work.
From their workplace.
Yeah, and we're talking about little communities like Ballard, and
Finney Ridge was on there.
Finney Ridge was on
such
there.
A cute little
Fremont. These
are
Magnolia.
These are communities around Seattle that already have, like we said, the elements of a 15-minute community. Can you then drop one house, put up six, as we see going everywhere? But these 24 designated little clusters will have some serious high-density multifamily dwellings moving into those communities. And that's a nightmare for someone like me who had a single-family home.
Mm-hmm.
We moved out of our Queen Anne home when my family was just getting started 20-some years ago because the city deemed that particular slice of Queen Anne Hill high-density multifamily. And it's exactly the 15-minute community we're looking for here in modern Seattle. But to the antiquated single-family homeowner like myself, we hate that. I hate when a house comes down and six houses go up on that lot because there's six times the traffic on my streets.
Right.
There's six times the noise and parking and people.
I'm getting a little anxious here. Yeah. I am getting a little anxiety.
It's the cost of living in a modern city.
No, not that. I'm a narcissist, Spike. I only think about me.
Oh, you think they're coming for your neighbor?
Well, I looked at the map. 10th Avenue East and East Boston Street. Do you know how close that is to my house?
I'm guessing too close.
It's too close.
Sitting distance?
It's not even within eyeshot, sure. It would take me several minutes to walk over there. But that's too close. I'm not going to have this in my backyard, Spike. Sure, it's like up a hill a little ways and completely on the opposite side of East Lake where I live. But that's besides the point. I refuse to put up with this. What is this? What is this, communism? You're going to put one of these little spaces where I live?
Well,
I won't stand for it, Spike. Get on my level with this.
I'm with you,
buddy. You're campaigning with me, otherwise you're losing your job.
I
can't stand this little purple square on this map mocking me. It's just laughing in my face. Nicholas, get me someone on the phone that I can yell at. I won't have this. You are not going to this space that is probably, I would say, within 10 to 15 street blocks away from where I live.
Wow. Well, look that quickly. That part of your neighborhood got shifted to not included in the draft.
Uh-huh.
Look at that. Good work, Nick.
The power of Nicholas. Thank you, my
duty calls.
Jeez.
But, I mean, the people of Magnolia, which is a very exclusive neighborhood, if you're talking about the inside of the city of Seattle, they've got two of these proposed 15-minute cities.
They're not going to like that.
They're not going to like that at all. There's going to be a lot of pushback on this. I think it's some of the necessary evil.
Not in my neighborhood, baby. Not in where I'm living. That's going to be in your neighborhood. I'm not living in that neighborhood. I'm living in a fancy neighborhood where they're not putting in these high-density spaces.
And it's everywhere Laura's been looking for an apartment, by the way, too. Everywhere. Seriously.
I was like, these are all my little Zillow circles.
Seriously?
Yeah. Coming up next, going to be Nate Connors stepping in to play the game of Cringer Based with us.
Nice.
Being that Puyallup is going to celebrate the next era of one of the most popular recording artists of our time. And of course, who are we going to bring in to talk about culture other than Mr. Connors? Am I right or am I right?
You're right, and you're right.
When we get back right after this.
Sign up for Mariner's Mail to receive pre-sale offers, exclusive content, and more directly to your inbox for free. Mariner's Mail subscribers get first dibs on all the latest ticket news and action from T-Mobile Park. Go to mariners.com/insider to join the club today.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, "Your dad has been hurt really bad."
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cringe.
Our song is Slam Screen Door.
Or Based.
I want to eat something that was once happy and is now dead.
Well, that's a good one,
but a good one nonetheless. Puyallup is going to celebrate the next era of Taylor Swift with a fun little weird festival. Cringer Based, a fun game we like to play every day at 1:34 because Aaron Granillo is Johnny on the spot when it comes to his newscasts. We were going to have, I think he's coming.
He
in.
Wants to do it in the other room. I think he's worried about being
like,
in the same room with us.
I feel like we should
get in here,
himself.
Suave. Look at him,
Nate. Just so you know, we just had this made for you literally seconds ago. This is your walk-on music, Nate Connors.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Dang, Nate Connors. Dang. Dang, Nate Connors in the studio.
I love that.
Dang, my friend.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that a fitted Men's Warehouse you
always
got there?
Always, man. That's all I wear.
So, Nate, I know you're a connoisseur of festivals and when people do weird stuff around celebrities. Taylor Swift decided that she was going to release her new record the Tortured Poets Department, which I know you have listened to front to back.
Yeah, well, where does she get time to record these new albums?
On the plane. Got a studio on the, you know, 787.
Good call.
Right. Yep. And then when you have a team of writers around you, it makes it, because they just do all the backtracking and they do all the production, and then they just say, sing this. And then you go in there and you say, you got the something. Ba-da-ba-ba.
You know, you're totally right. She could be in Brazil and just send those tracks to him, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, according to the Tacoma News Tribune, the festival that they're going to have in Puyallup will have food and drinks based on Taylor Swift's music. The streets will be filled with lavender haze lattes, French blonde cocktails, and friendship bracelets, which is another way of saying they are recreating hell on earth. So, Nate, I'm curious, what's your read of the is this not a bit much for a small, is it kind of just seems like a weird thing to do? Taylor Swift's not going to be there. It's just like a Taylor Swift thing.
I know. It's an album release party. Is that what it is?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tay Day. They're calling it Tay Day, which is kind of creative.
Tay Day and the Tay Tour, right?
Yeah.
Of course I bring a couple of middle-aged men in here to talk about Taylor Swift.
It's going to be fabulous, Jack.
I mean, Laura,
do you want to ask me a question?
Yeah. Are you excited? Are you excited about this, Laura? Does this get you going?
I think that this is a blatant tourist attempt.
Wow.
And I think it's cringe. And yet I will be there.
Oh, wow.
You're trying to keep the crowd down. That's what you're trying to do.
That's right.
You're trying to lower the expectations.
I need parking, man.
Nobody should go.
Nate, would you go to this? Would you, I mean, if the missus or if your son said, let's go to the Tay-Tay Day, would you go?
Boy, you know.
Has he an attraction? Has he gotten
Yeah,
the
yeah he's
stage?
Not. He's not a Swiftie.
No, no, I mean, does he... Oh. Is he find
Does
romance?
He like women?
Yeah. I'm not trying to ask that either. It could be a guy. I don't
what
care.
What are you asking?
Jeez, Spike, has he found traction?
It's going to be a target-rich environment for a young man on the make.
He's
10. What I'm saying. No, but he could. That was not too soon, is it?
Yes. No, come on, 10. He's a Connors kid.
Fair
come
enough.
On.
Yeah, he's going through them like hot knife through butter, Jack.
Dang.
He's a Connors.
He wears fitted shirts.
First off, I think this is fantastic for the city of Puyallup.
Why?
Because last year the tour brought in what, $8 billion to the state of Maryland or state of Washington, right? There's 72,000 seats. Now imagine you're a suburban family with a bunch of little Swifties in your house.
Yeah.
And you couldn't afford to take time off to buy $200,000 whatever tickets, you know, to the show last summer.
Average price was $700.
$200 to $1,000, I was saying. Not $200,000. That's not what I was saying. Although there were suites available at that number.
Right.
So you could take your kid downtown Puyallup. The record store's got a limited number of, like, vinyl discs, lavender vinyl discs. You've got specialty drinks, music everywhere, making friendship bracelets, the whole town's lavender. It's so awesome for these little kids, and it's going to bring a lot of money into the businesses of downtown Puyallup in the offseason.
I think that's nice. But, Nate, tell me what you think about this. Mm. I think it's a little weird to organize a day around a human being who's not going to be in attendance and who has done nothing of significance for Puyallup, meaning that, like, if you
has no connection to Puyallup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, if you wanted to have
Paul Bunyan days or something?
No,
or?
I don't know. Who's the guy who did summer? No, if you wanted to have a Springsteen day in Atlantic City,
sure.
That makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have Taylor Swift has not sung a song about Puyallup, right? It's not referenced in any of her songs, to my knowledge. So
I don't know if they are either. Yeah, Cruel Summer might be.
It just seems a little weird to me. What do you think? Just like to celebrate, like if they had a Rod Stewart Day in, I don't know, Pasadena.
Or Birmingham, England should be held, right?
No, I'm just saying it seems a little weird to me to do that. To just say, hey, yeah, today's, I don't know, a Bee Gees Day here in Santa Rosa. Right? It just seems kind of weird
it
to
is,
me.
It is odd. You're absolutely right. I think Laura had a key. It's just all about bringing people into the town.
Laura, yeah,
tourism.
As a Swiftie, do you think that this is somewhat insulting to your cult? I mean, your hobby, pardon me.
It's a commercialization of it, for sure.
Right.
But I will say that some of these ideas from local businesses are really cute. There's the Greek Cafe is going to have anti-Euros.
Okay.
Instead of heroes.
That's a clever pun.
Nice, okay. Right?
Okay.
Cat merchandise discounts at the pet shop.
Nate, what's your kid into musically? What is he listening to?
Let's see. Right now, one of his favorite bands is, I don't even know.
Really?
Well, it's the pop music station.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and I just don't know the, today's pop music
bands. Have you cultured him up for some classic rock? Have you given him some of the greats?
Yeah, whenever my wife and kid aren't around, I tell Alexa to switch it to classic rock, okay. You know.
Does your kid run around doing Lunatics from Pink Floyd?
Well, he's okay with it. Boy, my wife, though.
Doesn't like it?
No, she'll go in there and just shut that off. Oh, wow.
So Sarah and I were hanging out with her, my ex-wife and I were hanging out with her little brother, Chase, who's 14 years younger than she is. Mm-hmm. And so we're thinking we're going to introduce him to maybe a little Wu-Tang, maybe a little Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, that's nice.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Okay, all right.
And try to coach him up a little bit. Randomly on my mix, Tom Jones, What the World Needs Now, starts playing. And he goes, "What's this?"
did he like it?
He was into it. He
nice. This is great.
The only time he's asked about any of the music was when Tom Jones said, "What the world needs now." And
one
I was just
greats,
like,
man.
I was like, dude, I just showed you 36 Chambers. And you said nothing.
He went with Burt Bacharach, performed by the legendary Tom Jones. Kid's got class.
Old soul.
Kid's got style.
Burt Bacharach.
Yeah, you know.
Andrew, can we get a sample of that really quick? Because this is you want to get an 11-year-old to all of a sudden peek up in the back of a Subaru and say, "Oh man, this is a banger. Who sang this song?" Tom Jones covering Burt Bacharach.
Great.
Is the one that got really piqued his interest. So
you know what's funny? I've had Darby, who's 20 now, but exposed to the music I love.
Yeah.
But she was doing some song, and I'm like, "Where do you know this from?" And it was the background music of a TikTok video that had gotten like hundreds of thousands. And it was, I'm like, "How do you know?" Because it was a different Tom Jones song. It wasn't even "What's New Pussycat." It's not unusual.
It's not unusual, right?
Which we play a lot. I thought, "Did you hear that on our show when we were introducing John Curley?"
Yeah.
No, it's in the back of this TikTok video.
So you ever see Tom Jones dance? That guy has got the old school.
Well, his hips were lethal weapons in the 70s.
Yeah, he had to register those when he came to the States.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
They stopped him at the airport.
Him and
Keith Richards for different reasons.
Exactly. Mr. Connors, thank you so much
for joining us, my friend.
I appreciate it.
Love your show.
Nate Connors can be heard every 30 minutes on this fine radio station.
I know, right? Hardest working man in the building.
Hardest working man in the building. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. No stupid questions. A question we like to, or say, what is it? A segment we like to do every single day. Where we like to answer questions from the audience. And I never get mad. I never get upset. I never storm out of the studio. I never yell at Jacob, our executive producer here at Cairo Radio, for making me do this segment because it was his idea.
Was it?
I have never done this. Never, not once, ever have I gotten upset at any of the texters. I am always respectful and kind. I do not call people names. Laura, why are you laughing? It's an odd thing to laugh at, my earnestness in this statement.
Mike in the 360 is already suggesting that we take you down to this Taylor Swift event and watch what happens. He loves to torture you.
I know, and I enjoy Mike in the 360. What would happen is that I would step foot onto the fairgrounds or whatever.
Yeah, Main Street, Puyallup.
And I would just burst into flames.
a purple lavender puff.
A spontaneous combustion would occur.
Glitter would fall from the sky.
Children would be crying. Parents would be running away.
I'm getting you a friendship bracelet. I'm doing it.
I appreciate that. We'll be right back right after this.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, "Your dad has been hurt really bad."
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are no stupid questions.
There are only stupid answers.
Ah, yes. No stupid questions. My favorite segment of the day where I never get mad and I never storm out of the studio in a rage. Someone texted in, "Jack, a while ago, I asked you about gas prices. You said something about Jay Inslee under a lawsuit for gas prices. Can you explain what he did and why he's under a lawsuit? Thank you. Love the show." So he is not personally under a lawsuit. That was dismissed in November of last year. That was a completely different federal lawsuit involving the carbon tax.
Right.
He has been named in a suit brought by Scott Smith, who is the former economist. He's a whistleblower
who was hired
to justify the carbon tax. And then he was let go when he said, I crunched the numbers and it's going to be 50 to 70 cents in additional cost.
Right.
When Inslee came out and he said it was going to be pennies.
Yeah.
And so that's the lawsuit being that he brought forth. And, you know, he sued not only the agency that he was working for, but also the governor's office. And he claims that he was pressured to lie about gas prices. Again, Scott Smith, you can go look into that. It's a really, really interesting piece that we were talking about. What's your opinion on the Washington State's carbon tax? It's trash. It's garbage because you pass on that cost to the consumer, basically, is the long and the short of it. Right. It's as Spike likes to say. The intention was a good idea,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You want to sell sell carbon, or you want to put out a certain amount of emissions in the state, you're going to have to pay for it.
Right. To help combat the cost, the effects of those carbons you're putting in the environment.
Right.
Yeah, the intent was wonderful. The application was horrific.
Trash, yeah.
And like you said, Inslee's getting sued over the misrepresentation of the actual data that showed how much this would impact people. The beauty of the carbon tax, love it or hate it, is it's going to be on the ballot this November.
There you go.
You know, that's how the system's supposed to work, guys.
Democracy in action. Would you feel the same, this is in regards to the pro-Palestinian protesters, would you feel the same about the pro-Palestinian protesters blocking traffic if they were protesting quality control at Boeing? Yes. Yes, I would, because I'm philosophically consistent. You can be protesting things that I agree with. Do not prevent other people from doing what it is that they need to do, because you harm your cause when you do that. Just as a really quick example, there were a bunch of students up at UCSC, my old college, the University of California, Santa Cruz. And they were upset about the fact that the endowment for the college was backed by a hedge fund that dealt in petroleum.
Right.
And they were very upset about it. So what they decided to do was to pour quickcrete into buckets and then put chains into said buckets that were attached to PVC pipes and then close off Highway 1 northbound, which just so happens to be the way to, you know, the hospital. Yeah. So I don't have any sympathy for people who do that for whatever. It could be, hey, everybody, let's make sure that every person gets a pony. Okay, fine.
Sure.
Just don't block traffic.
You want to be over the overpass on I-5 backing a candidate or ponies whatever you want to do. That's public discourse. That's the right to protest, a peaceful protest. And when it crosses over the line into civil disobedience, laws are broken and charges are, which what happened, there are 46 people charged with blocking the airport access.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to work. If you want to go beyond the bounds of legal protesting, you're going to pay the consequence for going beyond the bounds.
I'm even saying just in terms of messaging.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I get mad and storm out, when other people get mad and storm out of the studio, they're not exactly making a very good point about what it is that they're upset about. And it might behoove those people to know that it's better to stay in the studio rather than storming out of the studio in rage.
Well, hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
We can all learn from others. Yeah, sure.
They complain about drinking water and rationing water. However, they want high-density housing, which would put more stress on the infrastructure. Why do they want high-density when they don't have the water infrastructure? Because there is this crazy thing called people who need houses. Have you guys heard of this phenomenon?
What is this again?
It's called a person, and they need something called a shelter.
They
need houses. That's who they is.
Right.
Oh, okay.
They, them.
So the problem with this is, you've got infrastructure problems. Yeah, you've got water problems, but you also have people problems. So they can't expect people to stop having children.
Nope,
right?
They sure can't.
Or they can't help people from getting older, whoever they happen to be. So they is also a weird way to formulate an argument.
They're out there saying
they want people to storm out of the studio in anger.
No, they don't.
Right?
Nobody wants.
That's what they want. But I want to stay in the studio. That's what I want to do, because I never do that. Dave Reichert decided to put his foot in his mouth, saying some things that will probably lose him the election. On camera, meaning it hath been recorded and does not sound very good. Angela Poe Russell had a very interesting opinion piece on Seattle's Morning News about OJ's death. But the thing about it, she's actually talking about the judicial system, which I think that everybody needs to hear, because it makes a really great point about the haves and the have-nots. And local students threaten a lawsuit as the school allegedly denies interfaith club. We'll talk about that when we get back right after this.